Now our Bible study today takes us into the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Those of you who are regular listeners, you know that we're moving on through this Gospel chapter by chapter, portion by portion, seeking to take a general analysis and an understanding of the interpretation of this first book of the New Testament. Now let us look at chapter 12 and read the first 13 verses of the chapter. Matthew chapter 12. At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. They asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much, then, is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then said he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Sure, the Lord have blessed to us the reading of these verses. Now, as you look down through chapter 12, you'll discover here in the verses I have read, there is the conflict regarding the Sabbath between the Pharisees and the Lord. Then there's a rather lengthy portion from verse 14 right through to verse 45 where we have the record of the conspiracy against the Lord and the response of the Lord to that conspiracy. Then when you come to the closing verses of the chapter, verses 46 through 50, there is set before us a great crisis with its spiritual significance. Now we're looking then first of all at the conflict. However, this chapter reveals a further manifestation of the enmity of the nation against the Lord. Then you'll take note of the fact of his rejection by his own. This chapter is a great turning point in this gospel. And after chapter 12, we will be viewing the king in his rejection. And his movements will definitely be toward the cross, the time when the nation would finally reject him and crucify him. So chapter 12 appears to be like a watershed, a great turning point in the public ministry of the Lord. Now here, first of all, we're viewing the criticism and the Lord's answer to his critics. This criticism begins with the Pharisees because they object to the disciples of the Lord plucking ears of corn on the Sabbath day. But this criticism was based on ignorance and not on knowledge. In fact, the matter is, you'll sometimes find that a great amount of critical condemnation is likewise based on ignorance. People are quick to criticize and quick to condemn, sometimes before they have all the facts of the case. And so here you'll find their criticism was based on ignorance and not on knowledge. But the Lord is still willing to answer his critics, and he uses an Old Testament reference in order to prove how these Pharisees were wrong. Now, the whole fact of the matter is, the Lord is moving on the Sabbath day through the cornfields with his disciples. The disciples do a very simple thing, something that was done at all times. They simply began to pluck the ears of corn. They would rub those ears of corn in their hand, they would blow away the chaff, and they would eat the tender corn. When the Pharisees saw them do this, they criticized them, and they said, you know, it's not lawful to do this on the Sabbath day. Now, the point is this, that these Pharisees had a great amount of traditions of their own making, and they placed more emphasis on their traditions than what they did on actual truth. And here we find one of their traditions. They're saying it is not lawful to do this on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then is called upon to defend his own disciples. But before he puts up his defense, let us search our own hearts. Is it possible that we ourselves could be so entrapped in tradition that we think that certain things are wrong, when actually the doing of them is not a violation of divine standards, not a violation of moral standards? There are certain things that people consider to be wrong, and when you go to investigate it, you'll discover it is only tradition. Yet if we're brought up in certain traditions, we begin to think that these traditions are actually truth, but they're not. There are some things that people think are wrong that when you examine them in the light of the Word of God are not wrong. However, there are certain things that people perhaps think are right, and when you examine these things by the Word of God, you discover they're wrong. Now, I do not want my listeners to get me wrong in this matter. I am not one of those people who think that you can do what you like, if you like, and when you like. I do believe that God has set certain standards, and God expects us to control and govern our lives according to those standards. Nevertheless, we must be very careful lest we make our conscience the standard for other people. You see, there are some people who won't do certain things, and because they won't do them, they think that should be the standard for other people, and that everybody else should conform to their way of thinking. Now, that's exactly what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees said it's wrong to pluck corn on the Sabbath day, and it's wrong to do what your disciples are doing, and so therefore, why don't you reprove them? You see, actually, they were trying to get at the Lord here to condemn him, because after all, wasn't he the master? And these were his disciples. Now, I want you to notice now the claims of Christ. He begins to speak to those people, and the first thing he says to them, have you not read what David did? And now he throws them back here to the Old Testament. And when he speaks of David, you've got to remember that these people had a certain measure of reverence for the very mention of David. They revered his memory. After all, wasn't David their anointed king? Wasn't David the man who delivered them out of the hand of their enemies? Wasn't David their great military leader? Wasn't he the man that God used to slay the mighty giant Goliath? David was crowned king. David reigned over them for 40 years. And so their great respect for David. Wasn't David the man who wrote most of the songs that they would sing in their worship? Today we call them the Psalms of David. And so he brings up the name of David. And he says, have you never read what David did? Plain words. To put that into modern language, you would say to someone, do you never read your Bible? And so when you're going to lay down a certain principle, or you're going to speak of certain practices, it's not a matter of these practices being according to our traditions, but do they fit in with what the Bible teaches? Do they fit in with what God says? So he's saying to them here, go back, read your Bible. Have you ever read what David did? Would you condemn David for what he did? When David was hungry, what did he do? And those that were with him? He entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Now, in order to understand that particular passage, you would have to go back and read those things in the Old Testament. And then, of course, you discover this, that where David went was into the tabernacle, which had been erected in the land at Shiloh, because, you see, the actual temple called Solomon's Temple was not built until Solomon's time. And so David went into what was called the temple at Shiloh, which really was the tabernacle in a more permanent fashion. And he was not permitted to go into that tabernacle, into the holy place, because there was the showbread on the table. But that was exclusively for the priestly family. Now David was not a member of the priestly family, and while he was the king, David was not entitled to go in there and eat the showbread. That was the food of the priests. But he says David went in, and he took with him the men that were journeying with him, and they all partook of the showbread. You've read that. Now, do you condemn David for this, or do you not? Now, when you get a reference like this in the New Testament to something in the Old Testament, it's not simply a proof text. The Lord is not simply using this as a proof text. What you've got to do is go back to that passage in the Old Testament, read the context, and here is what you'll find. When David did this, David was in rejection at the time. The nation had rejected David. He was being hounded. And David was hungry. And it was because the nation was out of touch with God. The nation was wrong. In fact, they had, as it were, refused to acknowledge David at that time. And because he was in rejection, it was then with the men that were with him, he went in and partook of the showbread. Now notice, the same circumstances are prevalent at the time when the Lord was passing through these fields with his disciples. Here was their true king, not only David's descendant, not only David's son, but he was David's Lord, and yet they were rejecting him, as we shall see when we come to the end of this chapter and from there on to the very end of Matthew's Gospel. He's a king in rejection. He has presented himself to them. He has proved that the power of the kingdom is present, and yet they're not prepared to acknowledge him. And he said, now look, you're criticizing me, as it were, and my followers, for simply taking some corn and eating corn. They wouldn't do it if they weren't hungry. But if you had acknowledged me and acknowledged them, we wouldn't be hungry. But you see, they were rejecting them. And then he goes on to say, or, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Now, why had they to do that? Because that people had sinned. And when people sinned and came with their sacrifices, even the Jewish priests had to go and function on the Sabbath day in order to meet the need of the sinner who had come with his offering. So therefore he said, you don't condemn the priests for what they do. You didn't condemn David the king for what he did. It was because he was hungry he had to do it. You don't condemn your priests because they've got to function on the Sabbath day. It's all because of your sin. So therefore, he says, why condemn me? He was the one who was both their king and their prophet and their priest. You can combine those three offices in the person of Jesus Christ. But now watch. In verse 6 he says, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. And so here's one of the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was he greater than David, not only was he greater than the Jewish priests, he is greater than the temple itself. I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. You see then how the Lord is able to answer his critics. They were condemning him and condemning his disciples, and he proves that they were absolutely guiltless. David was guiltless when he ate the showbread. The priests are guiltless, they're blameless, when they've got to function and make sacrifices on the Sabbath day in order to meet the need of the sinning Israelite. Now, he said, if you'd only known this, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. In plain words, standing in their midst was one who was greater than the temple, and one who was greater than the Sabbath. The temple was the place where they went to worship. You find that in John chapter 4. The woman at the well said to him, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but ye say Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. See, the Jews went to Jerusalem to worship, to the temple. Ah, but the Lord was able to say, the hour cometh and now is, when they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not a matter of the place now, it's the person. He says, here the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Here is one who is greater than the temple. So far as worship is concerned, you worship him. And it's not a matter of the place now, it's the person. And then the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. We pointed out at the end of chapter 11, he presented himself as the true Sabbath. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. The Sabbath was supposed to be the day of rest. Yet these people were not enjoying rest, but he said that he was greater than the Sabbath. And he proves his greatness by his word and his works. Now, since he made the claim that he's greater than the temple and he's greater than the Sabbath, verse 9 says, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. They asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? Yet the picture now, he has claimed that he was greater than the temple, and he was greater than the Sabbath, and now they're going into their synagogue. And here a man right in their synagogue, and he's there on the Sabbath day, and the fact of the matter is, the man has a withered hand. Now you know, a man with a withered hand, there are certain things he cannot do. A man with a withered hand cannot stretch out his hand and give the right hand of fellowship. A man with a withered hand cannot hold up his hand, a holy hand, in prayer. A man with a withered hand would not be able to work with that hand. It was withered, dead, paralyzed. And here was a man. Now notice, the man is in the right place according to the Pharisees. He was in the synagogue. He was there at the right time. He was there on the Sabbath. But the man doesn't have rest, and the man cannot properly engage in the worship of the ceremonials in the synagogue. So therefore, if he cannot hold up his holy hand in prayer, and he cannot give the right hand of fellowship to others, and he cannot work, then what can he do? He's there in the right place, the right position, but the wrong condition. And now they're looking at the Lord, and they're saying, in effect, is it right to do good on the Sabbath day? And they want to accuse him. If he should do anything to help this man, they're going to accuse him again for breaking the Sabbath. You see, here is the whole thing. It's a conflict regarding the Sabbath. And remember, the Lord has claimed that he is the true Sabbath and he can give rest. Now, is he able to perform a work for this man? Will he do it on the Sabbath day? If so, is it right or is it wrong? Now watch how the Lord introduces the whole thing to these people. He said, in effect, if there's any man here among you, and you only own one sheep, if you have a sheep, and that sheep was to fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, what would you do? Would you leave the sheep down there to perish in the pit on the Sabbath day? And because it was a Sabbath, would you say, I cannot lift my sheep out today, this is a Sabbath day? He said, would you not rather lay hold on it and lift it out? What should you do on the Sabbath day if that sheep has fallen into a pit? Would you keep your traditions and not go and help the sheep? Or would you lay your traditions aside and let your heart be moved in mercy and go and lift that sheep? Of course, the answer is very plain, that they would go to the aid of the fallen sheep. Well, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Surely there's more value on the soul of a man than there is on a sheep. Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. You have proved it yourself. You would go and help even a donkey or a sheep or any animal that was in trouble on the Sabbath day. You would go to the help of that animal. Well, wouldn't you go to the help of one of your fellows? If it was within your power to help a poor fallen mortal, even if it was the Sabbath day, wouldn't you help him? Where in the Word of God does it tell you you've not to? This is the argument. Wherefore, he says, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then he turned to the man who was in need, and he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. Now notice, this man is made, first of all, the very center of attraction. He's standing there in the midst of them. And they're all looking at him. They saw the man was in need, but there wasn't a thing they could do. But it seems to me they had an idea that the Lord could do something, but they wanted to accuse him for doing it on the Sabbath day. He, first of all, has silenced their criticism so far as doing good on the Sabbath is concerned. Then he turns to the man standing in the midst of the people, the center of attraction. No doubt the man felt embarrassed. No doubt the man felt that he was the center of criticism. And what was going to happen? The Lord distinctly says, stretch forth thine hand. Now by his word he has proved that he is far greater than the Sabbath, and far greater than the prophets, greater than the temple. But now by his works he's going to prove it. And he says to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Here was the Lord of the Sabbath, exposing the hypocrisy of his critics. May I say today that the same power is with the Lord. He is able to save to the very uttermost all who are coming unto God by Him.